It's 21 April. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Not so fast. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I got some news from Israel. Before I give that, after things like what happened last week on Sunday, I usually get a couple emails. You know, why didn't I talk about what happened to Israel with Iran attacking? Now, I've said this every time something like that happens. Somebody answer. Why? Because everybody's talking about it. There's absolutely no point in me being a 10,000th voice. If you are interested in that, you've already heard it from every talking head in the world, on CNN all the way up to the proxy guys. So I don't talk about things that are really that major because everybody else is talking about it. I like to introduce things that will let you know what's going on behind the scenes or that you might not have heard of. This week, Jim opened us and he talked about what happened this week in Iran. And so there's no need for me to talk about it because he's talking about something that everybody has checked. But I will say that it was massively restraining on Israel's part to do what they did. They used the greatest of wisdom to take the actions that they took, where it was far enough away so that it's really only viewable by satellites, so Iran can lie to their people all they want, and that'll be fine. But it's close enough at home where Iran knows absolutely that they can be targeted, and next time they will be targeted if they try that again. So, I mean, these are things that are obvious on the surface, but that's why I don't talk about these things. It's not that I don't care. I spend my whole day reading about these and posting them on the CG report. But when it comes to talking about things in this report, I always try to find something that you might find interesting that you hadn't heard of. Couple articles from Israel, from Ynet. Global clients flock to Israeli defense firms following Iran attack. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but they are saying 99% accuracy. Even they projected in their own defense systems 90% accuracy, and yet they were 99% accurate. And so people all over the world are coming to them now and saying, tell us about your systems, okay? The successful interception of swarms of missiles and drones fired from Iran toward Israel by IAI-produced Aeros System, among others, has sparked significant global interest. Former financial advisor to the IDF Chief of Staff, Brigadier General Ra'em Aminoach, pegged the total cost of the interception operation. Does anybody know how much the interception probably cost him? $1.1 to $1.3 billion is what he estimates in U.S. dollars. We provide a sophisticated and innovative system. It does not cost $1 million, but it is not cheap. In other words, $1 million at it. Yeah, okay. Levy says, the price is not the issue here. Anyone who wants to defend themselves needs to look at the potential damage versus the benefit. That's the right calculation. I don't know how much the activity cost that night, and I don't think anyone in such a short period of time knows how to estimate the price. At times like this, you don't look at the direct cost, but what would have happened and the damage that would have been if they had hit the population centers or sensitive facilities. A country like Israel that needs to defend itself must have defensive systems. The attack comprised three types of threats: drones carrying relatively small warheads, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. I don't know if you saw the one they pulled out of the Dead Sea. It was 26 feet long, and that was only two-thirds of it. This was a giant missile. The Aeros system, which we have developed, is designed specifically to counter ballistic missiles. These pose the primary threat and carry the highest level of risk to their high-speed, quick arrival time, within 12 minutes from Iran, and the potential for large-scale damage due to the hundreds of kilograms of warheads they carry. Israel was targeted with dozens of these long-range ballistic missiles, and the Aeros system addressed this threat, from the detection of the threat by radar to managing the event and finally launching the missiles. Aero 2 targets at a relatively low altitude, still outside the atmosphere, and Aero 3 targets at a very high altitude. The combination of these two systems provides a level of flexibility For example, if a missile isn't intercepted at a high altitude, it can still be intercepted at a lower altitude. So this is, they're promoting their stuff. People are looking at it, and they'll probably start selling a lot of it because of the immense success of a week and a half ago. From Times of Israel, Israel accuses UN of undercounting humanitarian aid trucks entering Gaza, which wouldn't surprise me a bit. While Israel says the number of trucks entering Gaza has risen sharply, the UN has provided much lower figures and says it still is far less than the amount required to meet humanitarian needs. Israel said that 419 trucks entered the Gaza Strip on Monday, but the UNRWA said only 223 trucks came in that day. So they're reporting half of them. From the Al Jazeera, top Democrats make unprecedented statements against Israel, signaling party shift. I had to go this way because they're going ultra left. From the Times of Israel, U.S. Israeli officials fear most hostages held by Hamas are dead. Yes, got some news from Christianity today from the Christian Post. United Methodist General Conference to have a queer clergy caucus at the event. The group will be present at the UMC General Conference, scheduled to take place April 23rd through May 3rd. That's coming up this week at the Charlotte Convention Center. The caucus identifies its members as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex people who are called and commissioned and ordained clergy in UMC. They were not called, they have no commission, and if they were ordained, it was by a mental minuscule. If you define an LGBT-themed caucus as any organization that actively lobbies to change the discipline, then the answer is yes. There have been caucuses that have been organized. They've organized events. They fought to advocate to organize delegates at General Conference to do that. The caucus itself is not in violation of the Book of Discipline. That's why we hold to this and not a Book of Discipline. Since anyone can advocate for change on any matter, and the majority of the petitions that are submitted to the General Conference call for some kind of change on some topic. Well, let's just introduce Satanism into the UMC. Yeah, that's what they're saying. It's okay. The restrictions on endorsing homosexuality have to do with what conferences and general agencies fund, not what various groups that are not part of the structure of the UMC say or do or advocate. From the Christian Post, religious leaders sign declaration denouncing religious nationalism, promoting progressive causes. Now, listen to the thinking of these people, how small it is. We're talking about people that have very, very small brains. A group of Christian clergy theologians and scholars who took part in the inaugural conference of the Yale Divinity School Center for Public Theology and Policy signed a declaration denouncing so-called religious nationalism. That's the title that you are pegged with forever until they decide to change it to something else. You are now a Christian nationalist, just so you know that. The group of self-described religious leaders also pledged to devote themselves to promulgating progressive causes and warned that traditional values are being politically weaponized. They are saying that traditional values are being politically weaponized. Signatories led by Bishop William J. Barber II, a progressive activist who founded the center, claim there is a well-funded, coordinated political movement that has co-opted our faith tradition and is what about the UMC? Is that our faith tradition? Is that what they're defending? So-called traditional values to undermine democracy and divide people across this land. I mean, you talk about projection and saying exactly the opposite of what is happening in the world. These are those people. Barber held a private meeting with Kamala Harris, the great Reverend Harris, featured prominently in the recent documentary God and Country. The film produced by Rob Reiner suggested there is an encroaching Christian nationalism that finds its most egregious embodiment in President Trump and his supporters. Without naming specific individuals or organizations, the New Haven Declaration suggests those who adhere to such religious nationalism are motivated solely by political power and blinded to the important moral issues. Yeah. The distorted religious nationalism has persuaded many well-meaning Christians to focus on a narrow set of divisive cultural wedge issues while ignoring the real moral issues that are at the heart of our scriptures and tradition. In a 2019 interview with Intelligencer, Barber suggested the Christian right is a slaveholder religion, linked to Christian nationalism, to white evangelicalism, and denounced those who care about flashpoint issues such as abortion, perish the thought, and school prayer. It's heretical. To suggest that if you're against abortion, you're against women's right to choose, you're for guns, for prayer in schools, for tax cuts, a Republican, then you have taken the moral position that is modern day heresy. You're all a bunch of heretics. Why don't you just get out of this building? Yeah, and we have to challenge it. But we're not going to just challenge it emotionally. We're saying if you want to have a discussion about morality from a biblical standpoint, then let's have a real one. The Declaration signatories go on to publicly repent of not more effectively preaching and teaching against religious nationalism, while pledging to proclaim in word and deed a public theology that is good news for all people. We join our voices as religious leaders to launch a season of preaching the moral issues of living wages and union rights, health care, and ecological justice, an end to the spilling of innocent blood, like those 50 million babies that they've killed recently. A reimagination of criminal justice and the protection and expansion of voting rights and equal protection guarantees. I will say, after listening to that article, that you should probably vote for Donald Trump. All right? That's what I recommend you do. And I have every right to do so because we are not a 501c3 organization. If you don't vote for Donald Trump, you are giving your vote that you are neglecting to those people.
Yeah.
Got some news from the Mideast in Africa today. From Zero Hedge, migrant crime explodes higher in Germany in 2023. Violent crime hits record levels. Now, listen to how they're going to fix this. You are going to be so happy when the Germans fix this problem. Listen to this. The number of foreign suspects soared to around 923,000 last year, representing a massive 18% increase in just 1 year nationwide. However, the even more shocking number may have to do with violent crimes, which soared to record levels in 2023. The data from the Interior Ministry shows that 41% of all crime suspects are foreigners, with 2.246 million people in the country suspected of a crime in 2023, which is 7.3% more than 2022. Overall, foreigners only represent 15% of the population. So if they're 15% and they're committing 98%, that means that they're, in essence, committing all the crimes. Got that? Here's how they're going to fix it. I'll get to it in a minute. The head of the German police union slammed the Fed Interior Ministry Nancy Faeser after the drastic rise in foreign crime was revealed. The federal minister of the interior is becoming more and more like Nancy in Wonderland when she is astonished to discover that Germany has become more violent. Faeser, for her part, has labeled right-wing extremism the biggest threat to the country. Sounds like the left here. All while allowing violent crime and rape to explode under her tenure, especially from foreign criminals. How are they going to fix this in Germany? Here it is. The government is now racing to naturalize millions of foreigners in order to ensure that they are not counted under foreign crime, but are instead counted as Germans. That'll solve the problem. As German crime statistics list anyone who commits a crime as German, regardless of their migration background, as long as they have a German passport. Problem solved! Okay, from JMS. Saudis say Iran instigated Gaza war to sabotage Israel normalization. A source from the royal family said that Tehran promotes terrorism and suggested that Riyadh play a role in thwarting Saturday night's drone and missile attack against Israel by the Islamic Republic and its proxies. Notably, a recap of the interview is published prominently on the House of Saud website. They're saying this right in Saudi Arabia. It's Iran that wanted to stop normalization with us that started this in the first place, and they posted this on their own website for their own people to read, which covers the royal family. Iran is a nation that endorses terrorism, and the world should have curtailed it much earlier, the Saudi royal said. Right at Joe Biden on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Iranian attack was in response to an alleged Israeli airstrike in Damascus earlier this month that killed a top Quds Force commander. In what the article describes as a subtle acknowledgement, the Saudi air defenses automatically intercept any suspicious entity that enters its airspace, which could be a reference to attacks from Iran's terror proxy, the Houthis, in Yemen. We confront every suspicious object that enters Saudi airspace. This is a matter of sovereignty. The Saudis also shared intelligence with the U.S. and Israel to help counter the Iranian attack. The Emiratis also shared intelligence. Good stuff happening over there from the Times of Israel. And none of that would have happened without President Donald Trump. Times of Israel, Gulf states including Saudi Arabia provide intelligence on Iran attack. This is just another article to confirm this. Several Gulf states, among them Saudi Arabia and the UAE, passed on intelligence about Iran's plans to attack Israel, providing vital information that was key to the success of the air defense measures that almost entirely thwarted the massive assault. From India Today, somebody here must have heard this. The only casualty of Iran's attack on Israel, nobody knows,
and
a little Arab Bedouin, the only person that was harmed in the entire attack. The last I heard, she's still alive. She was in serious condition, but that was a total waste of 300-400 missiles and things that went into Israel, and it harmed a little girl. Breitbart. Blinken, in Eid message, which is the Ramadan bombathon thing, links Palestinians to Uyghurs in Chinese concentration camps.
Wow.
Mail Online, Afghan migrant on terror watch list spent a year in the United States after released by Border Patrol, member of the militant group behind the deaths of Americans, was allowed to roam free. From the Gateway Pundit. New York City Council opens meeting by praising Allah as the supreme lord of the world.
Wow.
From the Sun, Macron admits Olympics opening ceremony could be limited due to security risk amid fears of ISIS attacks across Europe. So they've gotten rid of all of the miscreants, but that probably won't help. They've cut down the time of it. They've not allowed any air conditioning because that's not climate friendly. And so I can tell you this is going to be a super fun Olympics. Get your tickets today, okay? Now we got something really interesting from Mongolia, from Aki Press. Get out your pens. You're going to want to take some notes so you can make your investments. Mongolia's central bank vows to maintain economic growth at 7%. The Mongolian economy grew by 7% last year, with a surplus balance of payments and a balance of trade, which indicates that the economy is stabilizing. The positive tendency is driven by the growth in the mining and transport sectors. Currently, Mongolia has foreign reserves of $5.2 billion, leading to the exchange rate being stable. The exchange rate tightened by 2% last year, and this trend will continue this year. Inflation reached 7% in March of this year, which is the target level of the central bank's policy. So it's time to start investing in Mongolia, because they're doing pretty good. From Daniel 12 Technology. Scientific American. You may have heard of this, you may not have. You know that they're doing it in places. Well, this one they didn't want to tell the people they were doing it, but they found out that they were doing it. Geoengineering test quietly launches salt crystals into the atmosphere. The nation's first outdoor test to limit global warming by increasing cloud cover launched from the deck of a decommissioned aircraft carrier in the San Francisco Bay. The experiment, which organizers didn't widely announce to avoid public backlash, marks the acceleration of a contentious field of research known as solar radiation modification. The concept involves shooting substances such as aerosols into the sky to reflect sunlight away from the Earth. This all sounds like a really great idea. Since this experiment was kept under wraps until the test started, we are eager to see how public engagement is being planned and who will be involved. While it complies with all current regulatory requirements, because nobody ever thought anybody would be stupid enough to send up billions of tons of salt, so they never made a law against it, there is a clear need to re-examine what a strong regulatory framework must look like in a world where experimentation is happening, which is exactly why Tennessee passed that law about a month ago. The CARE, C-A-A-R-E project, is using specially built sprayers to shoot trillions of sea salt particles into the sky in an effort to increase the density and reflective capacity of marine clouds. The project comes as global heat continues to obliterate monthly and yearly temperature records, which I have an article coming up on that, amid growing interest in solar radiation modification from Silicon Valley funders and some environmental wackos. Or it says groups, I guess. It also follows the termination of a Harvard University experiment last month that planned to inject reflective aerosols into the stratosphere near Sweden before it was canceled after encountering opposition from indigenous groups. How dare they? Solar radiation modification is controversial because widespread use of technologies like marine cloud brightening could alter weather patterns in unclear ways and potentially limit the productivity of fisheries and farms. So we can't eat, but we got a nice clear sky now. It also wouldn't address the main cause of climate change, the use of fossil fuels. Did you know that fossil fuels aren't fossil? Okay. And could lead to a catastrophic spike in global temperatures if major geoengineering activities were discontinued before greenhouse gases decreased to manageable levels. In other words, they have no idea what they're doing. They have no data to support what they're doing, but they're doing it anyway. That's what that means.
Like the vaccine.
Yes. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues noted in the book of Revelation, which we don't even need because we've got Democrats. But from CNN, six rare sawfish. I reported on this a month or two ago. It got worse in the past 2 weeks. Six rare sawfish deaths in 7 days have scientists baffled amid bizarre Florida fish behavior. The small-toothed sawfish, if you've never seen one, they are unbelievable to look at. We used to have them off Sarasota. I haven't seen one since we were a kid, but they're very, very interesting looking creatures. The people watching the video will see these, so go online and just type them in and you'll like to see them. To think that they'll all be gone is kind of sad, so we'll hope it doesn't happen. Six of the rare creatures washed up dead in the past 7 days, a dramatic increase in mortality amid a mysterious die-off that has baffled scientists for months. These animals that look like a shark with a chainsaw-like mouth are a part of a group of fish called elasmobranches that include rays, skates, and sharks, and they can live for several decades under normal circumstances. Typically, about 5 mature adults are lost each year. We lost how many? 7 in 6 days. Okay, so where was I? Yes, mostly when they are accidentally caught in fisheries. But so far this year, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said they've lost 38, 6 of which came just in the previous week. It's still a mystery as to why the sawfish have been dying in record numbers. But divers and anglers have also reported seeing a variety of other species behaving in highly erratic manners, spinning in circles rather than swimming. Some sawfish, too, have been spotted spinning before dying. Spinning fish reports began in fall of 2023. The spike in sawfish mortalities began in January 2024. So, there you go with that. From the Gateway Pundit, our hero, Florida Surgeon General Dr. Ladapo on Fauci. Dishonest, self-serving, political animal who happens to have scientific training. Morality is declining. Once again, you may want to leave if you don't have stomach for a lot of bad news. Epic Times, NHS Review, UK children with mental health problems may have been rushed to transition. Zero Hedge, landmark study reveals transgender kids actually have other mental health disorders.
Really?
liberty, bestiality, taught in Australian schools, queer sex class. And we're talking about 13-year-olds. Gateway Pundit. Seattle dance team told to remove their American flag shirts or leave because some competitors felt triggered and unsafe. It's okay to have gay flags all over you, but you can't, not that. From the Post-Millennial, CUNY Professor Mark Lamont Hill says O.J. Simpson killed two people, but his acquittal was correct and necessary to fight racism. From Fox, Florida judge rules school has to temporarily allow transgender teacher to use preferred pronouns right here in Florida. Breitbart, Biden education secretary refuses to say whether men and women are physically different. Zero Hedge, this is the education secretary of the United States of America. Zero Hedge, 20 women soccer players withdraw from league over transgender players. Smart move. Gateway Pundit, biological male athlete smokes female competitors in 200-meter race. Same time would have placed him 61st in the boys category. LifeSite, president of Belgian health insurance company promotes euthanasia as solution for aging problem. This is the insurer saying we need euthanasia so they don't have to pay insurance. Yeah. President of Christian Mutuality. Christian Mutuality. Yeah, right. Push suicide for older people who are tired of life. And shockingly described the elderly as a mountain of meat that starts to smell. This is a guy that's in charge of this.
Wow.
I admit I smell more every day, but that's only because... From Breitbart. New York ballot initiative threatens parental rights on children's sex reassignment surgery. From the Post-Millennial, non-binary Ontario male approved for taxpayer-funded. I talked to Adam last week. He wanted to add a part while keeping the other part. Canada approved that, just so you know.
Wow.
Yeah. The Post-Millennial, far-left Trantifa, like you got Antifa, but this guy's Trantifa, extremist, given no jail time for attack against Ohio Pregnancy Center. Durant used spray paint and wrote the words liars, fake clinic, abort God, fun abortion, and Jane's revenge on the clinic. And yet we got people praying outside of Planned Parenthood's, and they're in jail now for 6 and 10 years.
Right.
Georgia Star News. Kansas Governor Kelly vetoes ban on gender treatments for minors. Time to get rid of her. Newsmax, rates of permanent contraception spiked post-Dobbs decision. Well, they're mostly Democrats, so that's not a bad thing. Zero Hedge, transgender archaeology, PhDs, and degrees in magic being funded with UK taxpayer money.
Whoa.
Yes,
whoa.
Transgender archaeology. I told you to leave if you didn't want to hear it. It gets worse. And that's less than a week of news. I just picked a few that I could fit in here. Okay, I got some other news. We'll see if we can find anything better than that nonsense. Oh, something about climate policies. Zero Hedge, hidden behind climate policies, data from non-existent temperature stations. So it's hotter all over the world, but we're getting data from non-existent stations to prove that it's hotter all over the world. Here we go. The NOAA, yes, your NOAA, provided by the U.S. government. The NOAA predicts July, August, and September will be hotter than usual. When recalling past temperatures to make comparisons to the present and, more importantly, inform future climate policy, officials rely in part on temperature readings from the USHCN. The network was established to provide an accurate, unbiased, up-to-date, historical climate record for the U.S., and it has recorded more than 100 years of daily max and minimum temperatures from stations across the U.S. The problem is that an increasing number of USHCN's stations don't exist anymore. They are physically gone, but still report like magic, said Lieutenant Colonel Shuchuk, a certified consulting meteorologist. NOAA fabricates temperature data for more than 30% of the 1,218 reporting stations that no longer exist.
Wow.
He calls them ghost stations. Shuchuk said the USHCN stations reached a maximum of 1,218 stations in 1957. But after 1990, the number of active stations began declining due to aging equipment and personnel retirements. NOAA still records data from these ghost stations by taking temperature readings from surrounding stations and recording their average for the ghost station, followed by an E for estimate. The website NOAA Crappy, which I went to, and they have all of them listed, lists all of the ghost or zombie stations, their location, how long they've been closed, and then links to NOAA's recordings. Significantly, the map shows not all of the stations used to interpolate temperature data are near the closed station. Thus, hypothetically, it's possible that since Oklahoma City stations are all zombies, all of them, interpolation data is coming from as far away as Gainesville, Texas, which is more than 136 miles away, and Enid, Oklahoma, which is more than 100 miles away. For various reasons, NOAA feels the need to alter this data instead of fixing equipment problems they think exist. Fixing temperature reporting stations isn't rocket science. We can go up to space to fix the Hubble telescope. We can surely come down to Earth to fix a few thermometers. But they don't want to. So that's what's going on right now in the United States. And we are the benchmark for all of the world in climate change. They come to us for data. Why do you think this is going on? Zero Hedge. Crime-ridden San Francisco wants to punish grocery stores for fleeing said crime. They want, you want to leave because of crime, and we're punishing you because you want to leave. Unpunished crime is so out of control in San Francisco that the city now wants to punish grocery stores who want to leave. Under the Grocery Protection Act, they have to have an act. It's so bad out there. Stores that want to flee all the crime and other increased liabilities will have to provide the city with 6 months advanced notice and make efforts to find a replacement supermarket for the location being vacated. Oh, we're leaving because of crime, so we want you to replace us, right? That's their job now. And the move comes after Wild Foods shut down its flagship store after being open for just a year, citing employees' safety concerns. The report shows how workers at the store were routinely threatened with weapons, while vagrants would throw food at staff, engage in fights, and even do something on the floor. Then it's not from your mouth. One incident saw a homeless man with a knife spray an employee with a fire extinguisher. There were also cases of drug overdoses, with one man dying in the bathroom after overdosing on fentanyl and meth in one store. Thefts were also common, with large quantities of alcohol stolen from the store. Nearly 570 emergency calls were logged from the location, including one with desperate pleas to the police saying, "Mail, machete is back." He couldn't even get the whole sentence out. He was so scared. And another security guard was just assaulted. Former San Francisco Board of Supervisors member Matt Dorsey, who wasn't assaulted at Whole Foods, by the way, said he was incredibly disappointed at the closing. "Our neighborhood waited a long time for this supermarket, but we're also aware of problems it experienced with the drug-related retail theft, adjacent drug markets, and the many safety issues related to them." They admit there's drug markets right next door, and they won't take care of that, and so they lose their grocery stores. According to Preston, "Our communities need notice, an opportunity to be heard, and a transition plan when major neighborhood grocery stores plan to shut their doors." That's their priority. Mail Online, Russia's arms packed with Iran. Moscow pledges fighter jets and air defenses to Tehran, including advanced missiles capable of shooting down U.S. and Israeli stealth planes. Didn't work for them this past week, did it? Zero Hedge, first Texas, now Iowa, state local cops to start arresting illegal migrants in July. From the AP, Tennessee governor signs bill requiring local officers to aid U.S. immigration authorities. Good. The post-millennial, Biden admin announces $300 million in grants to support illegal immigrants through DHS. The Biden admin is taking $300 million of your dollars to support illegal immigrants through the DHS. Mail Online, Denver defunds police to pay for migrant crisis. Democrat city strips cops budget of $8.4 million in sweeping cuts. Wow. That is going to go over very well. That is going to be a good decision in the end. They'll find that out. Breitbart, San Diego to receive additional $39 million for illegal immigrants. Telegraph, Volkswagen, electric car sales plunge as Europe returns to petrol.
Yeah.
Well, who could have seen that coming? Zero Hedge, Ford Lightning price cut sends shockwaves through the EV market. In other words, they can't even give the things away. Nobody wants them. Zero Hedge, in latest humiliation for Biden admin, Russian oil is trading above the G7 price cap everywhere. Of course it is. Independent, Ukraine desperately needs more soldiers. War amputees are returning to the front line. Zero Hedge, Russia's military is bigger than before the invasion. Zero Hedge, Scottish First Minister, he's that guy that's, you know, not white. Okay, he's like one of the 15 not white people in Scotland, and he's now their first minister. He declares anyone who reported his anti-white speech to the police is far right. If you report this guy's anti-white speech when you're 99.98% white, you're far right.
Tyranny.
Tyranny. Okay, who said it? There are worse things in life than death. Have you ever spent an evening with an insurance salesman? It's an old comedian, but not the one you're thinking of. Woody Allen. Okay, I got Lesrick here for you. Let's see if you can see what he's going on about, or her. Grocery stores must say when they'll leave town, even though crime is up, profits down. San Francisco wants them to stay if they do it their way and ignore that the place is run down. Yep. Okay, we've had enough comedy in today's report. I'm not going to give you anything uplifting except that Jesus died for your sins. Okay, yes. Okay, got a couple ironies here. These are both ironic. From Fox, Sheila Jackson Lee tells Texas students planet Moon is made up of mostly gases. Yeah. And then, not to be outdone, Zero Hedge, worst ex-mayor in America. Chicago's Lori Lightfoot lands $400 an hour job investigating worst mayor in America. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG Prophecy Report for the week.